sports. And yes, the fall convergence of sports is upon us. Football last night. Right now, we got basketball, preseason basketball, hockey, baseball, postseason coming up. So we're watching the Knicks and the Celtics now. Who's going to emerge in the East, Kyle? I think it's going to be those guys in the white and green.
But I think it's going to be the Celtics. Huh?
I think it is, but boy, I think that has a chance to be just an unforgettable race this year.
Yeah, I agree with you. I think, you know, I want to say Milwaukee because Dame Lillard and Giannis, but I think the Jrue Holiday signing tips the scales in the Celtics' favor. And I get it. If I'm the Bucks, you want to get Dame Lillard, you want another star to pair with Giannis, but letting your arch enemy, your rivals, get Jrue Holiday, you had to have foreseen that coming. And so I just like the Celtics' makeup. I do worry about their depth, though. I think they're top heavy. I think, you know, their top six is good. Their backup bigs are a little suspect.
They're going to need a guy like Peyton Pritchard to step up.
Yeah, exactly. You know, one guy they're high on, and I'm happy to bring this up, Nemias Cater.
Oh, yeah.
Our old friend Nemias Cater. You know, Joe Mazzulla, the Celtics coach, spoke about him, I think it was yesterday at practice, just about some of the things that Nemias does well for this team. Sure, it's a development, he says, but he thinks there's a place for him in this league. And so, you know, as much as I like Nemias and I want him to succeed, if he goes and thrives elsewhere, that's sort of, you know, that would make me feel a certain way. I don't know if I would like that.
He's got a legit shot, right? Because
yes.
In college and in the G League, in both places, he was a really good defender. I mean, that translated.
Right. Yeah, he was a good defender. And for some reason, it just didn't work here in Sacramento. But I would argue, when you look at Mike Brown and the kind of coach he is and his system and what he's trying to accomplish, it's hard for a young player to crack the rotation, especially when you're trying to win games. You're trying to, you know, now if you're on a rebuilding team, something like that, I get it. You can be patient, you know, but I think the Kings, you know, felt like, you know what, we can't be patient anymore with Nemias. We got to move on. And if he goes and does good things for the Celtics, that's a knife in the back to me, you know?
Mm-hmm. And nothing against him, but I would suggest that he's not stylistically a great fit for Mike Brown's system.
Right, right, exactly. Yeah, I'm glad you brought that up, because when you look at the bigs that Mike Brown likes, they're, you know, quick, athletic. They can facilitate the ball as well. And I was talking to Nemias's college coach about this, Craig Smith, and he said Nemias is a better playmaker than people give him credit, but we never really got to see here in Sacramento.
Drive Guys here, brought to you by Capital Casino, conveniently located on 411 North 16th Street in downtown Sacramento. Well, the Cowboys got it done last night, and what's even more sickening is that the Cowboys now claim they have closed the book on the 49er debacle. So as great as it was, if you're anti-Cowboy, as great as it was to see the 49ers beat them, now it's like the Cowboys are like, yeah, we're good. The 49ers broke them.
Right.
Yeah.
A week?
Yeah. And well, I thought it was for more than that. But now the Cowboys are like, hey, yeah, no, we're good. We bounced back. We won. Dak says it was a must win. And
damn.
So now you also had, of course, the 49ers lose and the Eagles lose. So the Cowboys look up like, hey, we're just a game back.
They're good. They're good. You know, and that shows the ebb and flow of NFL season.
Sickening.
I know that upset you. But I said it was a must win for the Cowboys. And I know you don't like to hear this, Whitey. I know you're not going to like to hear this Niners Nation out there. But give the Cowboys credit.
Why?
They bounced back in a big way. They were humiliated. They were de-pantsed on national TV by the Niners. They were a laughingstock of the NFL on all the talk shows last week. And they came out and handled their business. That defense looked incredible. Michael Parsons was getting – Dak didn't turn the ball over. They still have issues in the run game. They still haven't uncorked, unlocked Tony Pollard yet. But that was a I don't want to say a career-saving moment for Mike McCarthy, but this Cowboys season could have spun out of control if they would have lost that one.
I mean, it could end up where you're right about that. We just don't know yet, but it could be the case. But Dak Prescott says, Let's see, 4-2, second road win of the year against a great team, against a great offense, great defense. That's not true. They did not beat a great team last night. But the point is, obviously, the Cowboys were able to say, hey, terrible loss. That's all right. Onward and upward. And they came up with a win. And the 49ers have to do that same thing going into Monday night.
Yes, the Niners have to do that. And, you know, what we've seen from the Niners, I fully expect them to bounce back. Because they've been the more physical team in every game except one, the Cleveland Browns game. I think going against the Minnesota Vikings, their offense hampered, no Justin Jefferson. They don't have a great defense as well. And so I think, you know, the Niners, this will be a tough test because when you look at it, Whitey, and we've talked about do you have trap games, and then you got Joe Burrow and the Bengals coming to town. And so I want to see the Niners not look ahead to that. Like, maybe this loss last week is a good thing. Maybe you win that one and you might lose this one because you're looking ahead to Cincinnati.
The other Kyle Shanahan says. Yeah. He says, was a learning experience. Well, what do you think they learned? Honestly, I know coaches are going to talk that way. What did they learn? Did they learn that, hey, you got to take every opponent seriously? Well, hopefully they knew that. So what did they learn? If you're the 49ers, honestly, you got to try to make the best of the situation. What do you learn from a game like that?
You know, when Kyle says something like that, that leads me to believe he saw something behind the scenes during the week in the locker room or whatever. Maybe they didn't take Cleveland, respect them as much as they should. And maybe that's what he's talking about. And so to me, it's sort of a wake-up call, like a recalibration, if you will. You think things smooth sailing, it's like flying an airplane. Everything's fine. You hit a little bit of turbulence, you get through that, and then you can get back to smooth sailing. So right now, it's just a bump, a blip on the radar. And so we'll find out a lot about this Niners team, I think, come Monday night. On the road, Monday night football, against a team you should beat. But that's a tough environment, too, in Minnesota.
Can I just throw out a crazy scenario? Uh-oh, this is not a prediction, okay? I'm not predicting this, so please don't come after me and say, that's not going to happen. I know it's probably not going to happen, but it's just something that crossed my mind. First of all, it would have to depend on this. Brock Purdy would have to continue to play poorly. I don't think that's going to happen, but I could see, let's say Brock Purdy, and it turns into Nick Mullins, and all of a sudden it's like, what happened to him? What happened? Don't think it'll happen. But it could, right?
So it could. It could. It could.
Yeah. And you'd be so happy.
No, not at all. Not at all.
If that happened and the Vikings are like, couldn't you see the 49ers say, you know what? Kyle Shanahan say, I need Kirk Cousins. Couldn't you see that?
No. He can't do that.
Couldn't you see that? He loves Kirk Cousins.
He loves Kirk Cousins. Yes. But you can't give the stamp of approval to Brock Purdy. He's the real deal.
I'm just saying, if he fell off the table, I don't think it'll happen. See, I didn't even want to say that because I know people say, that's crazy. But I just, it's something that is very unlikely, but wouldn't that be crazy?
Wouldn't
that be crazy?
If Brock Purdy fell off the table, I would not trust Kyle Shanahan to pick the next quarterback.
Good point.
Think about that.
And even if it did happen, it'd probably be Sam Darnold.
Exactly. Yeah. Sam Darnold would get that. But you know what? What
That's
faith, what belief, if I'm saying Brock Purdy falls off, what faith do we have in Kyle Shanahan to make that decision?
And besides, you're right. I mean, his final numbers weren't great, but he was excellent on that final drive.
No, you know, I broke down that final drive because clearly Jeff Saturday did not look at that final drive for the Niners against the Cleveland Browns. Can I run this by you?
Only if we can compare it to Jalen Hurts' final drive.
Yeah, we could do that. Let's you pull up Jalen Hurts, I'll pull up my guy. I'll pull up Brock Purdy, your guy. Brock Purdy on the final drive. Now, Jeff Saturday says Brock Purdy led them down the field on a potentially game-winning drive. Let me break down Brock Purdy's final drive. First and 10, incomplete. Second and 10, incomplete. Third and 10,
clutch,
incomplete. But we got a defensive pass interference penalty that saved the drive. So his first three passes fell incomplete.
Well, if you didn't have the interference, it would have been complete.
The next pass, short left to Brandon Ayuk, who probably had like 20 yards after the catch on that, 25. Okay, Hey, it's Jason, man. He's getting pissed off back there.
Yeah.
All right. He completed
it. So you're
that.
Holding it against the quarterback.
So he completed one of his first four passes. His fifth pass, incomplete.
Wait, are you considering the interference in an incomplete?
Yes, because
it's not.
It was a touch foul. It was a touch pass. Come on. I'm counting that as an incomplete. So his fifth pass, incomplete. His sixth pass, 8 yards to Brandon Ayuk. His seventh pass, 9 yards to Jennings.
Oh, it's another completion.
So really, he completed three passes for a total of 20 yards on the final drive, but Brandon Ayuk took one 25 yards, so the yards after the catch gave him more. It's not, they marched down the field thanks to the officials and thanks to bad defense by Cleveland.
Brock Purdy
poor
taking
tackling.
Taking advantage.
Well,
the defense gets
man,
you.
I tell you, that. But I was just upset at Jeff Saturday.
Yeah,
that showed me he did not watch the game.
We got to take a quick timeout. I don't want to embarrass you by going over Jalen Hurts' final possession. That would not be.
I'm going to look it up right now.
Because there'd be one thing in there that was not in that drive by Brock Purdy. Interception!
Man, I'm loving the YouTube chat right now.
Yeah.
Rein him in, Kyle. Ha ha. Get him, Kyle. My guy's out there on the YouTube chat. Appreciate you.
Get him. When we come back, we'll tell you about the team that's out 49ering the 49ers and how they can help the Niners this week. Drive, guys. Sacktown Sports. Sacramento State football is back at home this Saturday night for a nationally televised primetime game versus Montana State, the Bobcats. Kickoff 7:30 p.m. Get your tickets at hornetsports.com. There is a team right now that is out 49ering the 49ers because this is a team that's running basically the 49er offense, but they're doing it much, much better. A lot better. And you know which team I'm talking about.
Yes, I do.
Because your team has to play them this week. And good luck with that.
That's a tough matchup, especially with the Eagles being banged up in the secondary, especially with the Eagles offense not clicking right now. You know, how do you beat this Dolphins team? What's the blueprint to beating them? Buffalo, I believe, mopped them up a little bit.
Yeah.
But Buffalo is a high-powered offense also. I think, you know, this Miami offense is clicking on all cylinders. They got the run game going now as well. You got to score in the 30s. I can't see you winning a 17-14 game against this team. With that being said, I never thought the Niners offense would be handcuffed like it was against Cleveland. The problem with the Eagles right now is, like you said, that secondary is banged up, and you could argue this Dolphins wide receiving core might be the best in the NFL right now.
Well, the 49ers are averaging like 5.98 yards per play, and that's second in the league to the Miami Dolphins. They're averaging 8 yards per play.
That's unbelievable.
Yeah.
That, think about 8 yards per play, Whitey.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it's incredible. And they're taking on, look, I'm not just coming after you on this because you're an Eagles fan, but the Eagles last year, they had a lot of health. Right now, though, only one member of the starting secondary was on the field for the finish of the game against the Jets.
Right.
And Lane Johnson got hurt, and it looks like he could play this week. But the secondary has been a disaster area for the Eagles because of the injuries. They've had already 15. They've gone through 15 defensive backs already this year. They had season-ending injuries to cornerbacks Avante Maddox and Zach McPherson. They had been without cornerback James Bradbury for a game against the Jets. They didn't have cornerback Darius Slay. The only safety that's healthy at this point is a guy named Terrell Edmonds. So the Eagles, with that going on in their secondary, have to play the Dolphins this week. So it's a recipe for an Eagle disaster.
Yes, but, and this is Sunday
night
football.
An Eagle disaster!
This is Sunday night football.
Yes.
And as someone who follows the Niners, as someone who is seeing what the Philadelphia Phillies are doing, this game is at the Link, which is a house of horrors for opponents. And so Tyreek Hill may be running free, on South Beach, you know, untouched. But now he has to go to Philadelphia, which is a tough place to play. And so on paper, yes, it is going to be a huge challenge.
It is.
You're right. The Philadelphia Eagles. Yeah. On paper.
Not a great matchup for your squad. On paper.
Not a great matchup. But I'm pulling up the weather report here because that's always important.
I thought it was always sunny in Philadelphia.
It'll be nice, though. It'll be partly cloudy, 60 degrees. So weather shouldn't be a factor. But here's the thing about the Dolphins. And it reminds me of the Niners. Things are going so well. Everything's going so good. What if you have one game where you're just off a little bit? You have a game where Ayuk drops a couple of passes. Purdy's behind his receivers.
Mm-hmm.
The thing about the Eagles, what they can do, they can get after the quarterback. We'll see if Jalen Carter plays. I don't know if he's going to play or not. He's key for them
as well.
He's
pretty good, isn't he?
Yeah, he's pretty good. If he plays, I think, you know, the defensive line, they're going to have to come at Tua. You can't give Tua time. You can't give Tyreek time to get down the field. And so I think the only way for the Eagles to stop this Dolphins offense, they need to wrap Tua up 3 to 5 times in this game. I need 3 to 5 sacks, multiple pressures from this Eagles defensive line coming up on Sunday Night Football.
Through 6 games this season, and I'm not saying this to like counter what you're saying. We all realize what's going on. But the Dolphins have totaled 2,992 yards on 374 plays, so exactly eight
Ouch.
Yards per play. No other team is even close. You got the Bills and the 49ers averaging 5.98 yards per play, and it's they run the ball, they throw the ball. They're like the 49ers, only they're built more for speed, and so far so good. Although, well, I was going to say they haven't won all their games, but 5-1, they're right up there now with the top teams in the NFL. 5-1 is the best record in the league, and they're one of the teams that has it.
Yes, but you know, when you look at the Dolphins, they're banged up also. Achan, their running back, he's out, right? Like, he got hurt this past week. I think they put him on IR. He has to miss 4 games, and so that makes them a little more one-dimensional. So we'll see, man. We'll see.
These are pretty impressive numbers, though, for what it's worth. The Dolphins, number one in yards per pass, 9.2 yards per pass, 6.5 yards per rush, 15 passing touchdowns, 15 rushing touchdowns, both first in the NFL, and they're first in the NFL in first downs with 147.
Why are you saying that? Why are you bringing up all that?
These are amazing.
You're trying to
numbers.
Send me off and to these make me sad? I mean, we know who the Dolphins are. They are a high-powered team.
No other team is even at 185. So, good luck. Your team,
it's going
to
be
quarterback,
tough.
It changes the equation.
And like I said before, the Eagles have the toughest schedule in the entire NFL.
Get the baby crying while playing the violin ready,
it begins
please.
This week. You know, I'm looking at what... I'm looking at this Dolphins team, and sure, you know what they remind me of? They remind me of a nice sports car. Nice and fancy, runs well, everybody's turning and looking, oohing and aahing and over it. But when you're in city traffic, you can't go 100 miles an hour. This Dolphins offense, they're going to be in Philadelphia against one of the best defensive lines. And the Dolphins' defense isn't that great. They're good, but they're not that great. Buffalo exposed them. And so we'll see if this Eagles offense can get going with the addition of Julio Jones.
How about this? We touched on this earlier. Up 14-12, and with the Jets on the doorstep of the end zone after an interception, Jalen Hurts threw an interception, 1 of 3 he threw in the game. The Eagles apparently decided to let the Jets score a touchdown. Nick Sirianni was asked about that Monday with the assumption that the Eagles were indeed trying to let the Jets score. He said, that's if we let them score. So the question is, did you not let them score? Sirianni said, maybe we did, maybe we didn't. I don't think that's something I want to get into because, again, that's discussing a strategy thing. Or I don't think I respect your question. I know you guys have a job to do. There are some things I'm always going to keep close to the vest. Yeah, so I'm going to keep that one close to the vest, end quote. So they let them score, right?
I'm looking at the game log, and wow, it was pretty bad for the Eagles down the stretch. They let them score because they wanted the ball back. They scored with 146, I think it was, left to go in the game. And so you let them score. You don't have timeouts. You let them score. You get the ball back, and hopefully your offense can march down the field.
Mm-hmm.
Man, Jalen Hurts was bad in this game. I'm a,
I don't even have to go there. You go there yourself.
Yeah. I'm like, darn it. Down the stretch. But remember, two of the picks were not his fault. Can we at least agree on that? Two of the interceptions was not his fault.
So when Brock Purdy throws a completion to Ayuk that goes for 20 yards, Purdy gets no credit for that. But when Hurts throws three interceptions, well, two of them weren't his fault.
Okay? I'm just saying. Yeah. I'm just saying. I'm looking at this. One, Jalen Hurts, Dallas Goedert bobbled it and got picked off. And two, his arm got hit as he was trying to throw. And so
the other one was the one that hurt,
though. The other one was, the last one is the one that hurt right there. And so when you look at it, they only went 8 yards. They got the ball first and goal at the Philadelphia 8. Darn it. Jalen Hurts. Ah, my gosh. That's so frustrating. But no, Sirianni did let them score, obviously, because they were going to run the clock out. And so to get the ball back, they were at the 8-yard line, which is a chip shot field goal. Uh-huh. Easy. It's unlike Brock, Jake Moody, which 41. This was a chip shot. Yeah. And so his decision to let him score, you give it back to your offense, but then the offense didn't do anything when they got it back.
Right. Well, they were behind the 8-ball there. But good luck against the Dolphins. That should be a very, very watchable game.
It'll be a great game.
Yeah, it should be a lot of fun,
and we'll talk about that on Monday. Yes.
Coming up, the NFL Worst of the Week power rankings on The Drive Guys, Sacktown Sports. Is that right? Last half hour, we just got started. We're just getting warmed up.
Yeah, no, it's... you know me, I turn into a pumpkin at about 5:32, which is right about now.
All guests come to you from the Folsom Lake Honda Hotline. Folsom Lake Honda, your one-stop Honda shop. Everywhere you look today, there's power rankings by this team. You know, well, they've moved up in the power rankings. They moved down. The only power rankings you need are called the standings. I'm not a big fan of the power rankings. But I do like to present the worst in the NFL power rankings. And it's not just the worst teams, the worst things that happened. What do you think of these, Kyle? Just real quickly.
So the worst things that happened this week?
Yeah, just happened this week.
Okay.
At five, I've got the Saints. Because they lose, okay, they lose 20-13 to the Texans. Then you got Derek Carr apologizing to the offensive coordinator for a sideline outburst. And then you've got Kamara and some of the Saints talking about, quote, I don't know what everybody else is doing to prepare, but there's a certain type of sacrifice that you have to make to come out here and play at a certain level, an elite level. I just hope everybody's doing that, end quote. So the Saints, apparently there's some issues with the team preparing properly for games. They're 3-3. They're not good enough to have those issues.
Right. No.
You know?
Yeah. And but you know, to me it looks like this could go bad pretty quickly with the New Orleans Saints.
Yes.
They're 3-3, so they're not out of it though. Like now's not the time to be splintering and pointing fingers and everything like that. And so, but it could go pretty bad quickly here for the Saints.
Yeah, DeMario Davis asked, did you do what you did last week, this week, or did you just enjoy the week too much? This team's not good enough to talk like that. number four, and I hate to go here, but George Kittle, did you see his production in the last game?
No, what was his numbers?
George Kittle had one catch for 1 yard, and that's a career low. Now, he did have, I think, one catch that was wiped out by a penalty, and I think there might have been another penalty involved in a target. But George Kittle, and a lot of people thought, you know, Kittle's going to be really important against the Browns. Well, it's not all his fault. Brock Purdy had his issues, but one catch for 1 yard for George Kittle after the previous week where he went nuts.
And that's why, Whitey, you don't talk trash. You don't, because...
Oh, you're saying the T-shirt?
The T-shirt and all that. Think about that. Like, all right, when you're up, you're doing great. You know, you want to celebrate T-shirt. Now you humbled yourself with this week. He was a non-factor, non-existent.
Yeah, he needs another T-shirt this week. F1 catch for 1 yard.
Right, right. Maybe that'll motivate him. Maybe he'll have a better game this week.
So George Kittle's career low output, he's fourth on the worst of the week power rankings. Number three, the New England Patriots.
Yes, I was going to ask you about that.
They still haven't scored more than 20 points in a game.
And not only that, they lost to Josh McDaniels, their former offensive coordinator. They lost to Jimmy Garoppolo. They lost to Brian Hoyer.
Mm-hmm.
They lost to Jacoby Myers. All guys who used to be
on
the New England Patriots.
Brian Hoyer was so happy. It's like he won the Super Bowl. Yeah, so they're at number three, and that's just a pathetic offense. Number two on the worst of the week power rankings. Hate to do this to Coach Saleh, but, you know, Coach Saleh was so excited after his Jets beat the who'd they beat Sunday? I can't remember who the Jets beat on Sunday. It was a pretty good team, right?
They didn't beat anybody. The Eagles lost that game.
The Eagles.
They lost
the Eagles.
That game.
Yeah. What he said was in the first six, let's see here. The Jets have faced a gauntlet of quarterbacks, and the defense has, quote, embarrassed all of them, end quote. That's what Robert Saleh said after the win over the Eagles. We have embarrassed all of these quarterbacks. And, you know, you can't say that about quarterbacks in the NFL. So he's walked that back. He said, well, the word embarrassed was probably not the right choice of words for me at that time, but there's a lot of faith in our defense and defensive coordinator. As a head coach, you can't, especially, again, it's so early in the year. You're the Jets. You haven't won anything. You can't talk about embarrassing.
Where's the lie at, though? Where's the lie?
Well, I don't know. Have they embarrassed every quarterback they've played? Are they embarrassed them?
I think week one, Josh Allen, four picks. Jalen Hurts yesterday, three picks. Mahomes, they did a great job against him. And so I
think it's
tell
a
me the lie. Tell
a
me
three
the lie.
Three team to say our defense is embarrassing opposing quarterbacks. Even if it is true, that's the type of thing that can come back.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yes, that
so,
is true.
And he's trying to walk it back. Better yet, just don't say it in the first place. And number one on the worst of the week power rankings, did you know that the New York Giants made history in their Monday night loss?
No, I didn't know that.
The New York Giants became the first team with more rushing yards than the opponent, more passing yards than the opponent, fewer interceptions than their opponent, fewer lost fumbles than their opponent, and fewer missed field goals than their opponent to ever lose a game.
How'd they lose that
ever?
Game?
They lost a game because there was pass interference on the last play in the end
zone.
Yeah. It wasn't called. Also lost the game because at the end of the first half, and I like Tyrod Taylor, but he audibled out of a RPO into a running play with not enough time on
no,
the
no,
clock.
Yeah,
they got
yeah,
stopped.
I saw that. What are you doing? Right. Yeah.
I did see that. But there you go. There's your worst of the week in the NFL.
Okay. I'm glad you had the Patriots on there because that's who I was thinking.
It's you have like, higher than?
Yeah. Yeah. I probably have them. Not, you know, because they were one of the teams I said, watch out for. They might get a win. But not only to lose, but to lose to your protege in Josh McDaniels, to lose to two quarterbacks that you had on your roster, to lose to a Jacoby Myers who, if he came on your roster right now, would be the best wide receiver on your team. It's like kicking somebody when they're down for Bill Belichick.
Oh, yeah.
You know,
you're right.
It's, yeah, it was
bad
it
enough
was
to lose
bad.
Jimmy G, but he's out. And then the backup.
The
it was
backup,
another former.
Right, right.
Yeah.
Patriot comes in and beats you. And
so do you think they're going to have to make a move at some point with Coach Belichick?
Nah. I mean, at some point, but not this season. It's not happening, Whitey. I know you think Robert Kraft's in his office right now, you know, throwing a tantrum and everything, and he might be. But there's zero chance. Mark my words, zero chance Bill Belichick gets fired during the regular season. And I said the word fired. Not that he would step down. Not that there would be some sort of agreement. I'm couching my words here a little bit.
Yeah.
Fired.
So if they were to say, I have no reason to think this will happen, but if they were to say, look, coach, you're gone, so we're going to give you a chance to resign. And he said, all right, I'll resign. You wouldn't count
that's
that
as
a fire.
That's not as hard out. That's a mutual agreement.
That, if he's dismissed, that's how
right,
it's going to happen.
That, there will be a mutual agreement that, you know what? You're right. I should leave. And he'll agree to step down. But I just can't see a Bill, you're fired, clear your stuff out, get out of here, you know, take the keys away and all
right.
that. I just
looks
can't
bad.
See.
That makes that looks a bad, bad. Situation look
right.
worse for them.
Yeah, exactly.
But
exactly.
At this point, I don't know, is it reasonable to think that if you bring in somebody else that, oh, maybe we can make a run at the playoffs? I don't think so. So then you might as well ride it
right,
out.
Right, you might as well
season.
Ride it out. And
boy, if Mac Jones is not
right,
very good.
Exactly. If Mac Jones not the guy, you got a quarterback heavy draft, I feel like, coming up with obviously Caleb Williams. You can look at Penix as well,
there
Bo Nix. Like, you got a number of guys. And so this might be the year for the Patriots, you know what, to punt on the season, tank, and get their quarterback.
Do you think maybe the game has just passed Belichick by? The modern game, as far as him being a, you know, talent evaluator? And
no, he's just arrogant. Like, this is what happens when you're successful. You start thinking that you're the smartest person in the room. You know everything. And so, you know, the fact that he put Matt Patricia at offensive coordinator, and it's crazy because their offense was better last year under Matt Patricia than Bill O'Brien, who they brought back. I just think Bill Belichick is too smart for his own good. And even when during their heyday, there was questions about his talent evaluation. When you look at their drafts historically, they don't hit in the drafts too often. You know, name me a wide receiver they drafted that actually panned out for them. Name me a running back that they drafted that panned out for them. And so they've missed a lot in the draft.
Yeah, I could name some of those guys, but they were way before Belichick.
Right, right. Exactly. Yeah. Exactly. And so I think over the last 10 years, they just have not done a good job drafting.
All right. Emil and Nate are going to join us. They got their 49er podcast, Return of the Empire, coming up. They'll set us up for that next year as the Drive Guys come down the home stretch on Sacktown Sports. 49er football, I got to say something that I really appreciate about Kyle Draper. Just a short time ago.
He set me up right here.
No. I really appreciate this. He was talking about Brock Purdy's final drive, and he was saying it wasn't great. And then we were talking about the Eagles, and he on his own went ahead and looked up Jalen Hurts' final drive, and he just said, wow, he was terrible. And I thought you were going to say, you know, oh, no, he was good. But no, I give you credit. You said, Jalen Hurts is terrible.
I keep telling you guys, man, I'm an honest fan. I'll tell you what I really see. And I'm not going to be sugarcoating it or wearing green goggles. I'm not going to be that way.
Mm-hmm. Emil and Nate join us here as we get ready for the return of the Empire.
Yeah.
You guys, I heard you last week, of course. Going to be kind of a different show today.
Yeah, I'm excited. Yeah. I've been dreading doing a losing show, so I'm ready to get it out of the way. And
well, why have you been dreading it, Nate?
Well, because I want the Niners to win every week.
See, man, oh, this is terrible. I'm about to sign off. We're supposed to be objective. We're not fanboy and fangirls, are we?
Like that's why I asked him on the show, because I'm the analyst and he's the fan.
I mean, when you think about it, the Niners losing is great for content.
Yeah.
No, because that's when the fans get pissed off. That's when the callers are upset. Kyle should have did this. Why the heck we draft Jake Moody? Brock Purdy has a rag arm. Whatever. That's when you get the passion out of your fan base, fellas, after a loss. And we saw it yesterday. A lot of people called it.
Let me ask you guys this, if I may. And I felt one way and Kyle felt the other way. And I think looking at it, you know, today, digesting everything that's written and said, I think most people, including the 49ers, saw it the way Kyle Draper did. I did think that with the time they had left, the 49ers should have run at least another play. But it sounds like Kyle Shanahan felt like he didn't want to risk that against that defense. And Kyle Draper said, hey, 23-yard line, that's a decent shot. And it was a makeable field goal. I still feel like they could have made better use of the clock. Where are you guys on that?
Oh, they absolutely could have. Like 100%. They had about 35 seconds left. They just kind of just let go around. You know, get the ball in a position for Moody to kick that field goal, sure. But you could have ran another out route or two. You could have gotten 10 more yards at least. Like, make it easier on your kicker. I get it. 41 yards, it should be makeable for anybody. It's an NFL kick. But why not make it closer? You had the time.
I think the answer is because Kyle Shanahan he thought we may lose yards the way their defense is playing.
And that's the problem is that Kyle gets spooked sometimes and then doesn't play to his strengths.
He was showing, I think, confidence in Moody too, being like, all right, he missed one earlier. Let's go for it. But Brock also missed an out route to Juwan Jennings too.
He did.
Like, he was just getting pushed, just slammed all day. And I know it was so wet there and you know, that first half, it was just coming down. So, you get the residual from that. But, yeah, I think the confidence in Moody was there, even though he did miss his first kick. But it's like, let's just get back and here, you feel good. Go kick it.
Mm-hmm. What's Robbie Gould doing these days?
Oh, I don't know.
Playing golf?
Yeah, playing golf. I think
waiting
last
for
time
his phone to ring, right? Yeah. A couple more Moody kicks, we might be calling him back.
See, it's possible.
We had Chris Biederman on the midday show today at 11. And he was talking about, yeah, no one knows really if Robbie's kicking or anything. And if Robbie comes back to kick, then the kickoffs are probably going to be worse because Mitch Wishnowsky has not been the greatest on kickoffs. So I think there's other concerns that come with that, plus the money. But the Niners have money. I mean, they got $41 million to spend.
Yeah. And with Jake Moody especially, we saw this in the preseason. Like, he was, during training camp, making almost all of his kicks. I believe missed two in total in training camp. But when it got to the preseason games, once he missed one, all bets were off.
He looked so bad.
You had no clue what was coming next.
He missed a PAT, didn't he?
Yeah.
The ones that were going through looked like ducks, too. They were bad. Mm. I was shocked. Yeah, we do this thing on the show where, I don't know if you ever see on TNT, during the season they write down the, you know, like Barkley and all them, they write down their predictions on a sticky note and come back at the end of the season. We're stealing that and doing that. One of mine during the preseason was Jake Moody will not be kicking for the Niners come playoff time.
Wow.
So I was happy that that seemed to be wrong.
Yeah.
But now, I mean, it's 1 week and it's one game. It's two missed kicks. One was to win the game, but the Niners just didn't deserve to win.
Yeah. Well, Kyle, you know, as a golfer, I mean, the first one he missed, he drew, hooked it a little, and then the second one is the fade.
He pushed it,
If he overcorrected.
Right,
or,
that's what happens in golf. Yeah. And, you know, Nate, I listen, like, if Moody isn't kicking in the playoffs for this team, that would be a tremendous failure on Kyle's part.
Sure.
To use it on a third-round kicker, and this guy, he's not even good enough.
Yeah.
I mean, this is another missed draft pick. And I know he's drafted well. I understand the hits that he's had.
He drafts upside down.
Right.
Inside out.
Exactly. Yeah. Exactly. And so I'm not going to overreact to Moody misses. You know, the first one was what, 54 yards?
And I believe that the weather was a lot worse at that point, too.
Right.
And the ball gets so hard. And
That's a hard spot to kick in general, and with the wind coming off the river and stuff, too.
But isn't that one of the reasons they got him?
Yeah. Correct. Because he did play in the Midwest playing for Michigan. So, mm-hmm.
yeah.
We were also talking about the fact that Kyle's team, the Eagles, they got a tough matchup this week against the team that's running the 49er offense, just more a high-octane version of the 49er offense with the Dolphins taking on the Eagles.
Yeah, that's going to be a heck of a game, and the jersey combos are off the charts. What's going on there? I mean, it's going to be a fun game, and we're going to see. This is going to be probably the Eagles' biggest test so far this season.
Yes.
See what they can do against this high-octane Miami Dolphins offense who – week prior struggle, but bounced back in a big way this week. So it's going to be interesting to see what they do against Tua. And
eight yards per play for the Dolphins this year.
Mike McDaniel's a wizard. Dude's a wizard.
Speaking of a heck of a play, did you see Johnny Hecker headbutt the guy on special teams on the Dolphins last
season?
And he flopped. He flew back.
Oh, I did. Okay, yeah.
Hecker goes like this,
that.
And the guy throws back. It was a lot. It was... Pretty funny, though.
Yeah,
you know?
Yeah. So, and I did not appreciate the fact that the Cowboys won last night. And they say now that, we're over that whole 49er thing. And the 49ers had him there by the throat.
That was so
predictable. They're off the deck.
That was so predictable they were going to win that game. I could just feel it in my bones that the Cowboys were going to come out and get that game because the Chargers are a mess. Frankly, a mess. Brandon Staley should have been fired last season. I don't know why he's still there.
Do you
there.
Think he's gone during the season?
I think he's going to be replaced by that woman who was cheering. And I think she's going to do a
plant.
Better job.
The plant. Yeah. Did you hear we had a guy call into Dave's show this morning?
Yes. Kyle? Yeah. I brought that up. Yeah.
Very interesting. There was a guy, I think his name was Anthony, called into the show, and he said he's friends with this woman. I think they go to like a Chargers fan club or something silly, and she's the leader of it, her and her husband. So the guy called in and he's like, it was all real. I promise. So, you know, take it with a grain of salt, but we got the inside scoop on that.
Yeah. It was just hard to believe that anybody cares that much about the Chargers.
The Chargers, right?
It's hardly they have fans. Right. You never see fans there anyway.
She was stoked. I mean, it's, you know, good for her. Whatever.
Yeah, but it's really disappointing to me to have people like Matt Maiocco suggesting that, maybe the 49ers, they were so pumped about beating the Cowboys, they took the Browns a little lightly. And I can't imagine a team that good with those veterans would actually let that happen.
I would go the opposite way, actually. I would say they overhyped this Browns matchup. They were talking all week about how it's our toughest test and all this stuff. Yeah. Maybe they thought too much about it.
Showed too much respect to
too
them?
Too much respect.
Yeah.
Like
Kyle put that thought, so this is going to be a grinder game.
They all said it, too. They all said it's our toughest test. We got to really work on this. This is a talented defense, unbelievable defense. They all said it all week leading up to the game.
XFL MVP, PJ Walker.
Correct. And they might have just psyched themselves out. And you can kind of feel that the vibes were a little bit different, even with the fight before right. the game. Like, there were a lot of different things going into that matchup.
Yeah, you guys will probably have some medical information for us today.
Oh, yeah.
We got
yeah.
a couple.
We're yeah. Faux doctors.
Some obliques and some shoulders, and yeah.
Kyle Draper suggested maybe if McCaffrey's not 100%, maybe you sit him out this week on that turf.
It's possible. I mean, you don't want to play Minnesota anyway, but I...
Right, and yeah. you know, he is the one guy they can't afford to lose.
Yeah.
I'm not saying you could lose Brock Purdy because we don't know what we have in Sam Darnold, but CMC is the one guy.
And Trent as
they
well.
They can't. And Trent, of yeah. course, on yeah. the line. Yeah. yeah. They can't afford to lose him.
Those two, though.
Yeah. So Kyle Draper will be getting people ready for Kings basketball tomorrow?
Yes. We're going to talk some Kings yeah. basketball. They got uh-huh. a big game against Golden State. I want to see who starts.
Yeah.
No Chris
yeah.
Duarte, guys. So you would think Kevin Herter would be back in the starting
we'll
lineup.
That
if he's not. Yeah. Yeah.
Dicey situation.
Come on, Kayvon, let's do it.
He did not Make seem sure. happy.
No. no. Keep it right here for Return of the Empire with Emil and Nate. Next, right here, Sacktown Sports.
Peace.